You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Greetings. This is Quantum Leap Book Club, and I'm your host, Parisha. And with me this week are my co-hosts. We have Trina Cooper from Denver area. We have Rosemary Heyer from Frankfurt, Germany. We have Mike Delar from Montreal. We have definitely Joyce Mullenhauer from Kingman, Arizona. We have Marianne Love from Melbourne, Australia. And we have Geraldine Dalby-Ball from Sydney, Australia. So we've got some coverage around the world, which makes everything interesting. So this week, we're really going to be clearing up the book that we've been reading, Mindfulness. And I've been talking today with several people who have actually gone through the book with us and are actually willing and wants to start it over and are saying they're going to start groups to where they actually share and actually work each week with people who are actually having good results. People are seeing their spouse have a different way of dealing with things. They are seeing finances change. One lady, since she started the book, shared that she actually got promoted to the particular position she's been working toward for 12 years. So we hear a lot of good things coming back from people who have actually picked up the practice of mindfulness. And so we deeply appreciate all of you who actually send in commentary and share with us what you're doing and where you're at. There are still some people saying they're having a hard time finding the book. Beloveds, I have no answer for that. I know people who've gone right on Amazon. People have gone to bookstores and had it ordered. So the book is in plentiful supply. I would suggest that maybe if you have one of those computers that you could purchase books through, you could try that. But definitely it's worth it to find the book and actually let the book become part of your life, not just something you read, but part of your life. There are some things in the beginning of it that I want to actually bring and discuss with you. We're on chapter 22, and it's called Where Next? And it's a page 145, okay? Some of the stuff that actually came out is I've been talking to professors and teachers, in fact, nine of them, and one of them is Matthew. And Matthew has actually said that in his school, which is in Alabama, that he has actually gotten four classes that do mindfulness two times a day, first thing in the morning and right after lunch. And that the children's grades have gone up, that one of the classes is actually for what he calls special students, and that they have found that these students have actually doubled, you hear me, doubled their grades. So they were very low in delivery and have actually come up twice as much as they were. So this is all good, okay? And that there are more schools now actually buying into mindfulness. They explained that they had a hard time with the word meditation, that parents had all kinds of takes and particular ideas, I guess, of what meditation is or is not. But mindfulness and the actual development of mind and it being some advantage actually helped him sell that. So he says that he's done fantastic. The others reported that their children are actually up in their grades and that their behavior are actually more calm and cooperative. So there is obviously lots and lots of evidence that this is a good way to go. I actually have had a conversation with Tessa White and ask her some questions and stuff. She does encourage people to get their book and find at least one or two other like-minded people to actually partner with. She says that mindful is actually something that is a personal study and that we want to be alone with ourselves when we're doing our particular practices the first time out. And after that, it's very, very enhancing to do it with a group or another person. She suggested that husband and wives actually make it a practice within their relationship also families that have smaller children and adult children, but actually to bring it into the home and invite other interested beings, that the actual group studies and the sharing of the outcome of each one of their particular experiences enhances it much faster. And that be because there's some level of accountability when you're doing it with groups, and that there's more communication and sharing that actually brings everything to frontal lobe and actually reinforces its impact. And so all that made real good sense to me. And actually is very grateful that we are promoting it, moving it, okay? And so when we look at our own need for this, we need to understand that when the children and every one of the particular teachers is still teaching her class on the virtual school, okay? And that the only way she truly knows that she has contact with her students is that they all do a mindful session with her. And after that, she can feel them. She knows that she's got their attention and they're focused. And just things like that, that I feel really makes this important for you to look at that. I've even thought to myself, when we look at the first page on 145, where it says, take a few moments to feel grounded in your body and bring awareness to your breath. That is something I do all the time. And I think this particular practice was something I started about 11 or 12 years ago. And I started them by being on a plane to where I was aware that the pilot had a few drinks. And I just found it as a way to make sure that this is going to ground, right? Okay. And so, but I've done that over and over again and asked myself that and actually taken that my breath is my awareness. And in that, I have come to find lots and lots of, like where I'm at with mindfulness, I use it as a way to start visioning, and the mediumship that I have, I use it to enhance that or bring something up. And that particular one is actually very, 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 very strong with what I do and how I work with it. So I'd like to tell you that I need you to get your paper and pen, because there are some places that actually have courses. And some of them are 8-week courses, some of them are less. And then they can actually refer you to a virtual group that's actually, you could check in with Zoom, or you could get on the phone with them and actually make that contact that we're saying enhances the particular permanency of actually the mindful practices. And that would be, okay, the first one is MBSR, Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. Okay, look it up. They have groups about. And then the other one is MBCT, Mindfulness-Based Cognitive Therapy, okay? And so call those particular groups, find them on the internet, send them some email, let them give you some other connections, okay? So remember those two particular names, MBSR, okay? Mary, Barbara, Sarah, Robert. Okay, and the other is MBCT, Mary, Bob, Christopher, and Terry. Okay, check on them on the internet. Please get into practice with them. What I've asked my co-hosts to do this particular time, and every one of us, and many, many years I've worked with these co-hosts. We have been together for a very long time. And I have begun to see things in them and practices and particular outcomes that I've never experienced with them before. We've done public programs, large public programs. We've done intimate work ourselves on little retreats and things that we call intensives. And at this point, I'm seeing a lot of them that are actually expanding their colors, meaning their aura, their energy field, and that they're sharing with a delight and a glee some of the things that they're starting to perceive and how they're working with the mindfulness and healings. I'm seeing some people who have been sharing with me that are close up front, extended family, that are starting to look at some painful areas in their childhood and life and realizing how much clarity they have with it and exactly how they redo it and where they place it in their life today. Any and all of that makes us better human beings. And as better human beings, we're a greater contribution to the community. And how we think, how we breathe, how we even sit in silence or thought, we are adding to the environment of which we exist. And in mindfulness, we begin to have greater, pure, maybe more fantastic, delightful thoughts that adds to happiness. And that would be what we want to make sure that we seed and plant at every opportunity we get. So I'm going to ask my co-host to actually start out, and I've asked them to kind of cover, each one cover from their perspective, what the last chapter actually says to them and what they would like to share with you about it. And maybe some guys, you may want to share some experiences you had with that. So we're going to start with Trina in Denver, Colorado.
Good to see everybody. So chapter 22 for me was really kind of taking a look back, a reflection. And what do I want to do next? Where do I want to go? And of course, there's lots of questions and lots of ideas through this. So sitting back and saying, you know, where do I want to take this? Is it going to be more about self-knowledge and self-experience? Or is it going to end up being shelf knowledge and shelf experience, which doesn't help you at all? So this is really about developing a practice. And so the question was, what have I discovered? And discovering, I feel grounded and more centered and balanced through this. And these are the questions they're asking you, really reflect on it. And why am I interested in this anyway? What good is it going to do? So this book has a lot of ideas suggesting that we find a teacher, which is something that I've done over the years and I love, practicing with others. And I find that to be extremely strong, especially in Paris, you were just talking about that, that, you know, practicing in groups, practicing with others is fantastic. And it brings so much more strength. Also, they're in churches. You're not alone. There's people all over the place. And I'm even finding myself speaking about this more. And just by speaking about this, I ended up in a conversation with our city manager and our mayor, who all said, it's about time to open a conscious living center here in Broomfield and start teaching these classes right here, one that the city can sponsor. And I went, yeah, that's awesome. So this whole thing, this whole chapter really was about, how are you going to be inspired by this? How am I going to be inspired? Where am I going to go to keep my energy up and my inspiration? And it suggests a structure. And I know over years of practice for me that having a time and a special place really helps. And journaling, a long time ago, someone said to me, write it down, because sometimes you're going to have experiences that you don't really believe. So write it down. And when you go to those doubtful places, go back and read it again, because as we continue to revisit and practice, we end up creating the new neural nets that we need, where it becomes just part of our life, like riding a bike or writing on paper or tying our shoes. It just becomes part of who we are. So at the end, there were a lot of questions about what are the next steps and what formal practices are you going to take? I myself, I think I'm going to get back into dance, get back into movement with both yoga and then also like a mindful dancing, because that's so much fun for me. And the informal walks, the formal practices of adding it into my day, which is something that I really did come back to this time, is fitting it in as many times during the day as I possibly can. And loving the breath, just absolutely loving the breath. So another question was, what are the obstacles? And you really need to look at this too. To me, the obstacles, you can overcome any obstacle. So just let them into your awareness and go, you know, yay, I'm really happy about the fact that I'm getting to do this. I am getting to be a better person. I'm relating to people better. And the two things out of this chapter that really jumped out for me as I finish up is talking about the small plant, that this is like a small plant that you water and nurture every day. It's not one that you buy and then you don't water it and then you flood it and expect it to come back. Doesn't work that way. You got to do it all the time for the practice. And I love that little quote. And the other one was about the flowing with change, that nothing stays still. And I learned a long time ago that the essence of life is change. So as soon as you embrace change and live from the now moment, which is how they summed it up. Life is just a joy and you have just fantastic experiences. So that's kind of my little summation of what came out of this chapter for me.
Oh, wonderful. And it's very, 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 very good and clear. And I'm hoping that you do actually get that consciousness center up there. So any help that I can be, let me know. Okay.
Absolutely.
And so now we're going to go all the way out there to Frankfurt, Germany, and we're going to ask Rosemary, sum up what you've had and what you're covering and some things that you've come to see.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, what the book was really about, the more I got into the practice, what we did so far, just as the author is saying, it was just a taste, a glimpse of the power of mindfulness. And I found out that what I discovered from you was really interesting, that I got more in touch with how the body is actually reacting, how the body is constantly dealing with what I'm experiencing. And I had one of these practices where I went in and outside of the car. I always paused and did what you just said, grounding myself, breathing. And I noticed that my body was really sometimes really in a very reactive state due to stress or being late or traffic. I mean, just little things, I would say, wouldn't be major things, but I noticed with the mindfulness that the body is really constantly dealing with what I'm experiencing, my emotions and thoughts, and got much more aware of it. And another thing is also, it's really about befriending yourself, discovering yourself more. It's very powerful exercises and practices to see what is going on with me, confronting me, so to speak. And also what I discovered, one of the things, there's so many things, but one of the things I also discovered was the chain of thoughts. I learned more about the quality of my thoughts, and what I've noticed, I'm a lot into planning and thinking ahead and analyzing and problem solving. So just observing that without judgment, which is really important in the mindfulness practice, was really very helpful. And she's asking about, or the book is talking about the whys, and what kind of why would keep me going, or what kind of intention. And what I really got is basically saying less doing, more being. And also I realized I was going a little bit sideways, exploring some other areas which indirectly had to do with mindfulness. And what I really got was that I have to, I want to have a more wiser way to use my time and energy, be more focused, do more essential things, and just getting caught up in all kinds of projects and things. And that is really a big thing for me, because I've always been in a lot of things and allowed it to just kind of run over me sometimes. And practicing with other groups, I have been had a lot of experience in the last 2 years practicing meditation with Dr. Jody Spencer groups, and I can only say what Trina said before, it is really very powerful. And you do connect, no matter where the person is, there in Sweden or China or whatever, you do connect with a group, and it is much stronger. And I'm intending to send the book to a friend of mine, and we're doing it together again. What I really noticed is, and I have done a 4-week schedule now for myself for a daily practice. I mean, I'm already doing a lot of practices, but so I can stay focused and keep starting integrating other practices from this book or similar practices. And the things I've always done was the body scan and the mindful breathing. And what I got from that is being more embodied, being more grounded. And I really think this, as I said, it's just a glimpse. I have a feeling that it can take me really much, much further in my spiritual and personal development. And she's also saying about resources, you already mentioned it. And what I also found, if you go on YouTube and put in mindfulness, there's so many MBSR courses offered. And also, I like a lot of guided meditations and more breathing techniques I've learned, which I'm using now. And I think that that the breathing technique and the what they actually call the sitting meditation, which is going to extend to 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And I've noticed also that if I do another meditation, like let's say a meditation from other practices, they are much stronger now. I'm more focused. I can focus more and I can go deeper. And I think that mindfulness is a very simple thing, but hard thing to do. I mean, it is challenging, and you do need to, that's why I'm making that schedule for myself of 4 weeks, to have a schedule I can really check off and start integrating more. One of the things I got in touch with in the mindfulness also is that I want to learn more, and I have another resource for that, to be more mindful in listening and speaking. I speak too fast and I'm not listening very well. That's what I got in touch more. I knew that, but I got in touch more in that book. And I also learned that that I have a choice. I mean, we all talk about that. Yes, we always talked about that. Stop, change, you have a choice. But with mindfulness, you really have a choice. And there were a lot of situations where I did not react, where I just got mindful and saw the whole picture and then made a choice what I wanted to do. And that is very powerful. Also, I find out that that you can actually expand your own mindfulness into a situation. I mean, you can actually touch other people with where you are, like with your presence. You can make a difference by just being present in a situation. And it seems to touch the other ones who are present or who are in the same room or in a situation, it seems to change something. So I thought that was interesting too.
That's really good, because like right now, every one of you, you are dedicated souls. You really are. There are all the years, and I do mean these are years that we've known each other, I've never found you turn away from an opportunity to reach out and touch lives and situations, to give your very best to make everything better. And the gift you give yourself in doing mindfulness is the kindness of relieving the stress to that. I stay very busy. I get 48 hours out of 24 hours. There's no doubt about it. Okay. And so basically for me to actually have taken up these practices, for some of you, I can actually tell you, you would remember how long it was because we were in the center on Mayfield. Okay. And so over the years, I would have to be, I would have to give great contribution of praise and effort from this book, from the little things that it's taught me. There, this is not the first person who's wrote material on mindfulness. It's been around a very long time. Okay. And we've kind of called it something else, or maybe we just call it by our own pet name. It doesn't matter, but it's about actually being with yourself and present. You all know that. And as much as you're doing, and I hear that in what you're saying, Rosemary, and all that we do, it's kind of hard sometimes to see how it all fits without the frenzy. You know what I mean? The rush, the pressure, the whatever, but we pass that on. You know that. I know that. And so for us to have, like what I told you, my little thing, you know, that I do in actually grounding myself and making sure that I'm in the right mind that I need to be to actually open my love and my whatever I want to share. Okay. And if you find that, you start finding out how much you appreciate yourself. And that's not something common, especially not to all of us who have actually gone out. I mean, we're involved in a lot of disasters, not just situations where people are having disharmony. We're in the midst of where people have lost very important parts of their life, and actually looking to that to bring something of hope and inspiration back to that. Okay. And you don't take time to know who you are, and taking the mindful time to look at that. Like at the end of the day, I ask myself, what is the most outstanding moments of this day? And I'm surprised, because what would come up in frontal lobe would be obviously some, you know, emotionally impactful stuff. But when I ask that question and I center myself into the mindfulness, It's something I felt at the time I didn't give enough time to, or maybe I was a little quick or abrupt on it. And it has brought me to a generosity and a love of myself to do that. And that we were all teaching love, and what we all know is if you cannot love and are not in love with yourself, you are not sharing love, okay? And so I really love it that you all have gotten so in depth with this. I see our work stronger, and I see each one of you coming even another step and another level higher than you have accomplished so far. And that's saying something. I do not say that lightly. That's saying something. You all still show dedication, and you still show your covenant is strong. And I am so grateful for that in my time of life and where we have come. So I am very, very proud of you, Rosemary. You've come from a very jittery, anxious, always questioning person to a very beautiful, peaceful, lovely person. And I so, so appreciate you. Okay. All right. We've got Joyce coming up, and Joyce is sitting around somewhere in Arizona and all the beautiful places there. So Joyce, can you speak up and let us know you're present?
I sure can. And thanks for the opportunity.
Here you are.
So studying this fabulous book on mindfulness by Tessa Watt has proven to be a very personal journey for me. Where next? As the title of this final chapter is a great question to ask myself as we complete this book on Quantum Leap Book Club today. The information, of course, is excellent all through the book. However, what has brought me the greatest satisfaction and changes has been working with the practices. The ones that I have repeated numerous times, and I mean like daily, some of them, have been the ones that have made the difference in a major way for me. Each time I do a practice, I'm amazed that something new pops up. And one example recently that I want to share is on Sunday when we were doing this as a group, we were doing taste. And we've done taste a number of times. And I was doing an almond. And somehow before this particular day, when it came to the part of pretend you have never seen this thing before, well, somehow that went right over my head. I thought, well, this is kind of ridiculous. Well, for the first time, I recognized the importance of that teaching. We do want to live our lives as if everything's brand new. I had the privilege of looking after my friend's little dog for one day this weekend. She has been at our home many, many times. But what I noticed this time, and I recognize it as similar to my own dogs over the years, she checked every single corner of our backyard. She was so thorough, and it was obvious that she was expecting something new there. So I decided I would like to follow her example and work more daily on having moments of time be brand new to me and what I can observe in that. So now that I've had the taste of recognizing and changing thoughts to being different and more open, I feel a real urgency to continue with many of these practices. I have recorded my thoughts on paper as we have explored the many mindfulness practices, and I celebrate the changes I have experienced. Early in the process, I became aware of the frequency of my thoughts being totally random and disorganized and rapidly shifting. I recognized that my awareness was limited due to the continuous diversion and distraction my own thoughts were creating for me. I recognize that I have experienced initial, but a powerful increase in my ability to focus. In this final chapter, what impacted me the most was what Trina's already covered, caring for a small plant. Daily care is imperative for a plant to survive and flourish. Already, from my daily application of mindfulness practices, I see the obvious comparison. So mindfulness is where my goal, and I know at this moment there is still a distance for me to travel, to be able to declare that mindfulness is how I live and who I am. My journey has definitely started and brought me results. I anticipate how I can expand from here. And certainly the excellent questions on page 151 and 152 are fabulous base to create my plan and yours. And I appreciate having a chance to share.
That's so wonderful. And you're just so in control of this presentation. This is very good. Every one of you, Mike is new to our little clique here, our little ladies, okay, group that we have. And every one of you started out so formal and so rigid and scared out of your wits, obviously, when I drug you onto the show and asked you to come on and be part of the party. And you've all become so beautifully fluid and elegant in the way you put in, putting so much of yourself out there. I want you to know, Joyce, you have transformed. And from being, we used to view you and think of you as this little sparrow, this little delicate sparrow. And man, you have learned to spread those wings and definitely show the eagle that actually resides there in that body mind. And just the way you totally, I think, blow a lot of our minds, how deep and wonderful some of the things you can express and you share with us. And it where it comes from is in a place that you laid hidden for a while. And now that you can do this, not only your healing practices and going from being an RN now to a homeopath and a naturopath, there's just seems to be no end that you don't open the window and the door. So when you share about the little dog in the yard looking for something new, I think you do that all every day anyway, Joyce. In what you share on a daily basis with me, I see you're always looking and finding and exploring something new, something beautiful, something timeless. So thank you a lot for that, okay? And definitely the contributions you make to our particular work in our book club. Now we're going to go to Geraldine Dalby Ball, and she's out there in Sydney. And Geraldine, are you on the line? Can we see you?
I am on the line and I can see you, so hopefully.
Oh my God, you've grown a fur.
Yes. Yes. It must be my introspection time. So I've taken something that's a little bit like a bear. And indeed, this part of the book is definitely an introspection time because it asks us to have a look and what will be next. And to do that requires the looking inwards first, which is so much of what the mindfulness brings. Key things that I've got from the book are,
well, you look been like said before. You look like a beautiful bear. Okay, let's give you this right up front. All right. So whatever, you're a beautiful bear. Go ahead.
And this bear is learning about beingness and the difference between beingness and doingness, because I have been very much a doingness person. I do a lot of doing. And I reflected on that, particularly in going away from my house, going away from my work, going away from cells, reception, and having like at least 2 days away from all of that sometimes. And instead of thinking, oh, I've taken this time away from the things I should be doing, to having a really clear, beautiful opening feeling of, oh, actually, this is this being in this beautiful place, reading beautiful things, completely noticing nature, and then feeling really full to share that, to film it or record it. That is the beingness. And even not filming and recording, but the realization of numbers, of frequency, it's really concreted other teachings that we've had with you, particularly the start-stop. Going about a project. This is the project I'm doing. So I'm starting it, I'm working through it. And if I'm going to another one, complete it. So I would say I'm definitely in progress with that, but I'm noticing so much more. And I realize that some of the busyness is created rather than real. So that's been a really big step. And it includes things like the meditation of being the mountain. When you're just the mountain, the sun shines, it rains, it snows, the animals crawl on you, the bears might hide, but you're still the mountain. So there's a steadfastness there that what I also realized in that is that I used to connect very much with that, that it's very important that I always can be steadfast. Doesn't matter what else is going on. I've got to keep my cool. I've got to be able to handle things if they came up. And the book has actually said it's okay to not be seemingly okay at all times. And there's a kindness in there to say, oh, okay, I am upset today that my list was bigger than what I got done, or I did say that I would get something done and it's not done. And I have followed it through and the morning's already come and it's the next day, the kookaburras are calling here. So there's a kindness in that to say, okay, how do you do it differently? Rather than that was a fail. And I know I don't normally use that word fail because we've had the beautiful sharing that that's falling forward. And if we fall forward, we get up. So they're key things. And something I'm doing is going back to the beginning of the book with the new mindset that I have now about beingness more than doingness and going through the practices again.
All right. All right. I think all of us have already made the decision that you're going to keep this little book and you're going to master it, and that you definitely have a lot you could share, a lot more you can share now of yourself with the world. Okay. And I thank you for that. Even with your fur around you, the forest still stands strong around you. Your aura is always full of nature and such a refreshing experience always when I'm near you, Geraldine. I appreciate very much. And you add such impact to, you seem to be able to be the one that always brings the technology to the very beautiful emotions and capabilities we have of ourself. So that always strikes me as very impactful when you go with that with us. So let's move on to Mike, and Mike's in Montreal, and you're safe to speak up in this little forum of ladies. We all had our shots or our whatever. Okay. So what do you have to add?
Well, I like to be in company of all these women, so that's not a problem.
Shh. I think your wife is listening. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So basically at this point we are saying, okay, what's next? And what Tessa kind of says at the beginning, okay, you've had a taste of mindfulness, you know, are you inspired to pursue it or not? You know, and she even asks you, sit down, do this in a mindful way. Don't, you know, even this question, do it mindfully. Sit down and ask yourself the question and then shut up and listen and see what happens. And I think that is really, really a smart way of handling any kind of problem. But in this case, you know, because it's easy to get caught up in things. And I think it's important to say, okay, what do I really want to do? And what do I want to get out of this? And that brings us to kind of the second part of the chapter that really hit me was where she said, look back at what your intention. What was your initial intention? And in my case, it was I wanted to control my mind. I wanted to have better control of my mind and all that scatteredness that happens when you meditate and stuff. I thought, okay, I got to get a handle on this. And what I've come to understand about this whole thing is that maybe control was the obstacle and just allowing it to be okay and to observe it and see it is a whole different kind of angle for me. So that's been really impactful for me to just be able to sit and watch. And you know, she says, how has your intention changed? No, my intention has changed because I don't want to try to control this. So I'm not even going to say what my intention is. I'm going to trust the process and say, if I do this, good stuff's going to happen. So that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, before we get on to where we go from here, she talks about finding a teacher. And I think everybody's kind of put their part in about teachers. And, you know, she makes some really good point. A teacher has their own understanding and can share their understanding of maybe what you're going through. A teacher can help you articulate what you're going through. They may even be able to see what you're going through from a different angle that'll help you with your own perspective and maybe clarify your own experience. And then finally help you look at it and say, what did I learn from it? Or what can I learn from it? So teachers are good for all that. And that's important. And grandmothers talked about the groups that we can get in touch with. All I want to say about this part, when I read this part about it, is I've had the best mindfulness teacher I've ever had, or anybody could have. I had the honor of spending lots of close time with grandmother. And if I can say there's one thing I got a head start on, it was mindfulness, because grandmother was, you know, helping us with this frequently. And so I pass, and I really think that it's been my job to pass on what I've learned. So my students get big doses of this, grandmother, about how they talk and that kind of stuff. I tell them, watch what you're saying. Look what you're saying. Look how you're programming yourself. What comes out of your mouth is programming your brain. So stop saying it that way. Look at what you're saying and how do you want it to say. So I do some stuff like that with them. I think that's really fun. I enjoy that. So that's how I've been taking it forward. But the whole thing on the teachers and groups and stuff, it's like, no, I just, what this has helped me do is get back into frontal mind some of those teachings. And so bringing them back up, and it's like, now I can get back to them with sort of a different perspective, I guess.
That's very powerful. We all had come for, I mean, we're all out there actually supporting and saying, you know, stay in present time, be present. But we know in ourselves that our minds are so active and moving. We couldn't actually say we were managing that, right? And mindfulness brings that as a reality. How do you stay when you're saying stay in present time? You have to have mindfulness or you can't do that. You know what I mean? How do you stay in present time if you're not focused on what you're thinking and what you're feeling and what's happening right now? And even doing that, the little practices throughout your day and everything, you'll find that there's not gaps after a while, which is what I have found. Okay. I truly can say I believe that I stay in mindfulness all the time. I realize that I don't even talk to people, that I don't say something, and that I've thought out exactly what I'm going to say. I realize that in conversations, and if I want to kind of convey a particular feeling and environmental, like setting up the environment to support what I'm doing, I realize I've already experienced that in a mindful state. Maybe makes no sense to people right now in the learning process of it, but you become mindful. You actually become mindful. You're aware of everybody in the room. You're aware of the setting, the furniture, the walls, and everything. It's like all of a sudden, all of the environment that you're in is you. And right now, you're there 100%. You're engaging with thought and recognition, everything. And in that, you'll be surprised how you begin to read people, how you will begin to understand by just their silence where they're at in thought. And that works so magnificently beautiful because you realize that there you're really in the state of oneness. When you are aware of everything around you, you are the oneness. And mindfulness is the key to that. And, you know, we can get into all kinds of complications and in yoga and on the meditations and the many houses, thoughts of meditation and stuff. This takes away that. And it's just about you focusing and being present. And once you do that, you begin to have such respect for yourself, such respect for everything, and such love of everything. And in that, happiness truly is what you are. And just experiencing that means you don't have to say it. I'm aware of my effect on a room when I walk into it. I'm aware of my presence with people. When you smile at people, and what renders my heart is when you smile very, very real and want somebody to feel it. How clumsy they become, or how unnerved for a little bit that they become, and then they accept it and they just soak it up. But in that moment, it says how uncertain we are that love does exist, that we can emanate love. We don't have to know your whole history. We don't even have to spend time with you. Love is what you're giving. It's not something you're analyzing in someone else. It's what you're giving. And mindfulness helps you know that you give love all the time and that in all circumstances, you're there to emanate that. And like I said, to me, I cannot say enough about this and the keys to everything I've learned in life and even the far reach and in-depth things that I have actually come to be very common with. It was mindfulness. It was discovery of self and all of the different things that went on in life and where you are today with that, and where you can be with whatever you're discovering today. And once you do that, you become addicted to it. And the minute that you start feeling yourself letting off the practices, you start feeling it and you know to get back on it. So like I said, you've opened a window in your life with this book. And this book is only the beginning. I loved it by the many people that responded to me through the social media that they've all determined that they're going to read this book. And when I actually responded to some of them, read it 10 times before you even think of putting it down. And that everybody that I said that to said, I'm already through it 3 times, you know? So it's just a matter of us putting it in and allowing it to do what it does. That's all you have to do. This is not a book to read. This is a book to experience. And if you're not doing those practices, you're not getting it. You're back in the word game, not in the feeling and the living game. So you want to do all of those practices and have everything that comes out with it. The other thing that you if you truly want to have spiritual awareness at a powerful level, you're journaling. Because whatever today is, you'll have a different perspective of what you learned of if you read what you wrote today in about 3-4 days. You'll begin to study yourself and know yourself a lot better. And in this regards, definitely what Tessie says to do is actually look at it, at each exercise and practice you do, journal on it, okay? And what come up this time? And then, you know, this time, maybe it's going to be a little superficial because you're still trying to get the rightness to it and do it as it said. And what I have people doing is actually recording the practice and then put the plugs in the ear and just doing it, you know, like journaling yourself through it or whatever. And when you start writing that and you have a certain experience and you wonder, well, how did I come to that? You know, you go back and you look at what you journaled. And in most cases, you won't even remember that. You won't even remember that you journaled that already. So to really begin to know yourself and come up around to actually observe yourself, journaling and definitely journaling in your mindfulness is where you want to go. And I write letters to Creator. I don't know how many of you have discovered that already, but I write love letters to Creator. I write love letters to Nunda the Sun. I write love letters to Nunda the Night. I write love letters to nature. And in that, I discover myself. I discover the love of myself and in myself. So when I'm doing the mindful practices, one of the mindful states that I do is focusing on some part of my beautiful world and the Earth Mother. And I write a love letter to it. And in that, I learn so, so very much. Okay, how would the rest of you sum up what we've said with the book? And what can you recommend it? Come on, we've got about 5 minutes to do some vital impact.
Can I add something?
Sure can.
One of the things as I was going through this that I realized was that I was finding myself more frequently catching my thoughts, catching my attitudes, catching my words, catching my actions, you know, catching my judgments. And I realized how frequently my space is full of judgment, and it really brought that to the forefront for me. So it's had a neat effect in that I've been able to look at situations, people, somebody I might just automatically judge by, you know, if I judge by the way they look, and now at least say to myself, why would you do that? You know, so it's causing me to maybe take a look at a piece of me I don't necessarily want to look at, but it's helping, you know? And the other thing you were saying right at the very beginning, how people have said to you that this has had some really deep fundamental, what's the word, impact?
Yes.
I can tell you I'm one of those people. So I've had just an impact about something that I've been dragging forever. that just by doing the exercises, it just was, well, obviously. And it's, I feel like, you know, I've gotten something off. So I'm just going to trust it. I'm going to do this like I did Og Mandino's book. I'm going to read each new exercise and do each exercise for a week until I got it. Then I'll move to the next and hope my goal is to integrate everything. So that's my part.
That's wonderful, Michael. Thank you. One of the things that I do, and you already spoke about it, is like I've watched people, and I have my own judgment about that, at least I used to, how when you would say, okay, well, but that's your responsibility. And it would be with someone denying or not doing something they've committed to. And I would watch this negative auric effect. As soon as you said the word responsibility, it was like, oh, you know, just all kinds of static or anger stuff would come up. And so I had shared with many of you how my grandmother, because English was not our first language, that when I would learn English words, she would break them down in you know, context for me that I would be able to understand what it meant. And responsibility says that we can act upon our ability to do this. And that's a great compliment. It's not a burden, you know. And one of those things come up in actually when I was doing yesterday, doing the particular work with mindfulness, because I'm dealing with politicians and a whole lot of crazy people that I actually have judged as crazy. And when I caught myself using that word, I went through what you just did. It's like, I'm so critical that how do I expect to have any results with them if I'm labeling them crazy, you know? And then I come back and hit myself with the word, you know, Parisha, this is your responsibility. And your responsibility is to give everybody the margin of space to change. You know, and when I heard that word, respond with the ability, again, you have to look at yourself and understand how far you've come and what you've got now and be capable of that and proud of that, accomplished with that. So, yeah, we all have to watch our little trick back onto judgments. It's really good. And Michael, that shirt you have on is absolutely extraordinary. It brings your blue eyes out even past those glasses. Okay. All right, people, we have a few more minutes. Somebody else?
Yeah, this is Trina. And I find that this book is, I hate to call it simple or easy, but it really is. It's like complete in a little package and it's step by step and it's fabulous. And I kept, you know, it brought me back to reminding myself of so many things, but I've been getting affirmations of the change. And as you put it, Grandmother, earlier, was that, you know, everyone has been changing and you're seeing this through this. And at this last conference, there were so many people that walked up and went, wow, I felt you coming before I ever saw you, or your smile is radiant. Or, and I've been thrown a lot this summer into situations, whether they be family or groups where there's been conflicts or whatever. And I've been called the voice of reason. And I've loved the fact that the piece about listening and the speaking and the silence, but really spending the time to be mindful in listening to what they were saying or paying attention to a body language or whatever it is, just being really mindful of the situation I'm in. And then the answers just seem to come up. It just seems to come out of my mouth and I'm like, where did that come from? But it's been really a phenomenal time of experiencing me. And of course, you knew me when I was like this quiet little mouse in the corner. And I was finding I've been getting invites to participate in things or people wanting to do more, or it's just, I know there's something that has totally shifted in me. And I lead it back a lot to the fact that my mindfulness practices have definitely increased this summer, especially taking those small pauses, breathing and being in the now moment. So it's been really phenomenal.
Well, I remember those days, Trina. I remember those days when you had hit in the shower or you went over in the corner or you just stayed in the back of the room. I mean, I saw that. And this, who I'm looking at today, is who I always saw there. and yet there's more to come. Remember that your medicine name is Raven, and what deep, deep secrets and deep treasures, extraordinary abilities rest within Raven. And keep bringing that forward, and know that all of you are here to make a difference. Each one of us individual to the mission of why we are human and why we are in bodies. And if we can just emanate that out to everyone and actually begin to help everyone come to some experience of a self. And if we can learn to be in unity and not even allow such separation as politics and the things that are hurting us very much now. We are here to make that difference. And the only way we can make that difference is to be mindful of it and how we can do that. So for all of you as my co-host and Marianne, wherever you may be right today, I really want you to understand that it is absolutely a pleasure to work on the show with you. And I am extraordinarily grateful for the times you actually pitch hit for me and pick the program up and move forward. And you've all made people's lives different and definitely more extraordinary. So please be at peace in that and actually know the love that you're sent to every day of your life, okay? And just keep growing. Look at this. Now you can begin to teach this. Not only live it, but emanate it, okay? So we'll have to close for this week. We actually have to discuss what's our new book. But I have some ideas I'd like to do with the show over the next 2 or 3 weeks and some suggestions from our producer. And definitely, we all give great appreciation for Jules and LOA Radio Network. Definitely. Okay. So have a good weekend and good time and talk to you next week. Okay. Meanwhile, know I love you. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.
You're listening to the